Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Welcome. Greetings. This is Shlomo Katz. You're listening to The Soul of Israel on thelandofisrael.com and the Land of Israel Network. Hoping you're having a beautiful last week of the year as we approach Rosh Hashanah, as we are here. I'm joined by my dear soul brothers, Rabbi Jeremy Gimpel and Rabbi Ari Abramowitz. Shalom Aleichem, brothers.
Shalom Rav Shlomo.
Thank you so much for being together with us once again this week. This week is, for us, Ashkenazic descent is the week of Slichot. The week where we begin to say the extra prayers before the actual prayer in the morning, asking Hashem for forgiveness, saying, I'm sorry. Which has become, in more recent years, more of a celebration, more of a ceremonial experience, as opposed to going to a synagogue and crying and saying, I'm sorry. And I'm really personally torn about it. I'm not sure if we're missing out on something by keeping it the more, you know, heartbroken, I'm sorry, God, as opposed to, I'm sorry. You know, the more, no, really, there's something, it's like a little bit interesting, but I guess the way you say I'm sorry to someone that you know is going to forgive you is with simcha, is with happiness. And that's what it reminds me of, a poster I saw recently of two Hasidic Jews, one Hasidic Jew and one non-Hasidic Jew walking the streets of Jerusalem during the month of Elul that we're in. And the Hasidic Jew looks really, really happy. And the other Jew seems much more frightened and scared. And they're walking towards the court. So the concept is that this is what's happening right now. We're walking towards Judgment Day, Rosh Hashanah. So the less happier looking Jew turns to the chassid and says, why are you so happy? He says, oh, they didn't tell you? My father's the judge. So that's, I think, a little bit of an intro into what we're going to be talking about tonight. My father is the judge. My father is the judge. My father is the person sitting behind that, you know, that desk. He has his own chamber, but he's not wearing a long black coat per se. I'm not sure what he's wearing. I'm not sure what the judge wears, but I know that the judge definitely sits on a throne of our praises to him. One time, the Maggid of Mizrich tried to explain to his students, what is it that the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement, actually brought down to the world? What was his chidush? What was his innovation? So the Maggid said, you know what the Baal Shem Tov did? He was busy building chairs his whole life. Hasidim said, really? He was a carpenter? He was building chairs? Said, yeah, but let me tell you what kind of chairs he was building. One time, the Baal Shem Tov walked into a shul, and the Baal Shem Tov wasn't dressed as a man of riches. He was a very simple person, dressed like another simple person, common folk in the towns of the Ukraine. And he came up to each person and he would say, how are you? Shalom Aleichem. And he wouldn't end the conversation and move on until he heard the words, thank God, Todah La'el, in the conversation. Once those words were said, he would proceed. So he comes up to a tremendous, exalted learner, maybe a big rav, a big rabbi, but someone that really couldn't care less about the Baal Shem Tov and didn't have the time of day for him. So he comes up to the Baal Shem Tov comes up to him and says to him, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi, how are you? He says, what in the world do you care? He says, what do you mean? He says, come on, what are you asking me? What do you need to know this for? How am I doing? What do you care? The Baal Shem Tov says to him, King David says, Ve'ata kadosh Yoshev Tehilot Yisrael. God, you, the Holy One, you dwell, you sit where there's Tehilot Yisrael, where there's praising that comes from Am Yisrael to your name. Mm. That when a Jew praises you, Ata Yoshev Tehilot Yisrael. You sit, God, you dwell on a chair that is made from what?
Our
praises. From a Jew praising you. Ve'ata kadosh Yoshev Tehilot Yisrael. So whenever I talk to someone and the words Todah La'el come out, that's where God actually dwells. So, Judgment Day is right around the corner. What do we want to be busy doing this last week before the Judgment Day? Like we said, it's a week of Slicha, but it's also a tremendous week of gratitude. So what we want to do right now in today's segment is connect these two concepts of Slicha, of saying I'm sorry, to also, in the same breath, saying thank you. I don't know about you guys, but at a certain point in my teenage years, which unfortunately seem very, very long ago, Although they weren't so long ago.
You still have the same energy.
I hope I have more. I hope I have more, but thank you.
Not amount of energy, youth, the energy of like youth.
I hope so. Bezat Hashem, I hope I never get rid of that. At a certain point in my teenage years, and I'm really interested to hear from you guys if you felt the same thing, was there a rebellion towards saying slichot, saying I'm sorry?
I'm still in the rebellion.
Are you sure that it's a rebellion or just a not wanting to do it?
I'll tell you exactly what it is. It is. It feels inauthentic to me. It feels not I want to spend an hour davening to Hashem, talking to Hashem, speaking to Hashem. Slichot simply does not do it for me. And it in some ways has never really done it for me. And so it's been a constant struggle knowing I know that this is the way to do it. I know that this is the way Am Yisrael is doing it. Everyone around me is doing it. This is my whole school, my whole yeshiva, my whole neighborhood, my whole everyone. And I'm just going to sit this one out.
It really is a struggle.
I'm sorry.
It's a tremendous struggle.
And I always have this catch up, hang up that I feel like the majority of my kavanah intention is focused on keeping up and where they are. And going back to the right refrain and the right paragraph, and the words are sometimes so advanced that to really understand what you're saying, you really need to sit down and prepare ahead of time.
And if you really want to understand what they're saying and say them with any type of meaning, they're already four paragraphs ahead of you. And you're like, wait a minute, now what do I do? Do I skip over the? It's like it's a constant race.
So yeah, you're
race.
Between a rock and a hard place. It's either just, like recite the incantations.
Yes.
Or not be a part of what the Klal is doing. And it's both like, it feels like a lose-lose.
These are real, what you're bringing up are definitely real feelings that I've gone through as well. And I think that what I really wanted to do is to share with you guys, as well as all our beautiful listeners all over the world, something that I've adapted to myself. And I think that it's revolutionized Slichot for me. It's what I think about. I do think that there's still the child in us that's still fighting that rebellion voice wants to say, like, don't ever tell me when to say I'm sorry. I'll say it when I want to say it, right? There is that voice. Like, don't tell me now's the time to say I'm sorry. No. If I feel remorse, if I feel regret, don't you want that to be authentic and on my own time? How can the calendar dictate to me when to feel sorry? It's a very interesting concept, which we're not going to get to today, I think.
We're going to get a lot of angry mail then because everyone's at the end of their seats. It's like, how can the calendar dictate when to feel sorry?
Well, the calendar dictates something else to us, I think, as well. Because we're starting a new year again, a new rebirth. This new beginning in the Rosh, the head. Hashem, this is my mantra. Hashem, God Almighty, I am so, so sorry for not believing in how much you believe in me this past year. And that touches home in the deepest way, because that's something that personally I still struggle with all the time. My concept of emunah is still very immature, and I hope it's grown immature in a bad way, not in a holy young way. Mm-hmm. My concept of emunah really still is that if I believe in God, that means I believe in God. But if I don't believe that God believes in me, it's okay as long as I'm believing God. And it's just not true. It's just not true. Believing in God means ani ledodi, I believe in God, ledodili, and God believes in me. It's intertwined. It's in like they say in the Gemara, and when you learn something in Talmudic passages, it says ha beha talia. The two depend on each other. It's not a one way street. And that's the whole energy of ani ledodi vedodili, which is what we're busy with during the month of El. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. On what level are we to each other? In how much we believe in each other. A marriage that doesn't consist of a husband believing in his wife and a wife believing in her husband does not contain within it true, passionate, long-lasting love. Might have a lot of other things that work, but the love is dependent on how much each side believes in each other. So when my kavana has been in slichas, not so much about the actual averot, the sins, those are things I need to always work on all year long. That's not, You don't just do tshuva and repent for your sins in the month of Elul. That's every single day, three times a day. In our silent prayers, we say, Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu, hashiveinu avinu letoratech harotze b'tshuva, God which that desires tshuva. But there's something crucial about choosing a way to enter the new year. It would be such a beautiful thing if we could all enter the new year with accepting the fact that God believes in us. Because if he didn't believe in us, we would not be showing up to another year. We probably would never even be here in the first place. That recognition, that enlightenment, is to me essential, crucial, and answers many of the hardships that many of us true authentic seekers, hopefully authentic seekers, really do have with being told to have said, I'm sorry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm just so sorry that I didn't believe enough in how much you believe in me this year. You take that?
I can, between where I'm at and actually internalizing that truth, it's a little bit of a journey, I think.
I need to process that a little bit. I need to process that a little bit. I think that that avoda is, it's beautiful, it's deep. It just hasn't been where my mind has been at. I don't know how to explain that.
You just did very fine. I hear that. No, yeah. I understand what you're saying. It's a left field. It's a different knisa. It's a different entrance. I hear it. I know.
Because sometimes I get into this time of year, and my avoda now is don't be overwhelmed with the avoda. Don't go nuts. And like I feel like always this week's Torah portions are always in line with this time of year. And there's this such a famous passage, and it's so beautiful. But you know, Hashem says, "Ki mitzvah zot asher anochi mitzavchayim lo bashamayim." It's like not up in the sky. It's not so far away. You know, it's not up in heaven's sake. This with the Torah that I'm giving you, the way that I want you to walk in the world, you don't need to ascend to heaven to take it down from us. We don't have to go across the ocean. It's not across the sea. Rather, it's a matter that's really near to you, in your mouth and in your heart. It's like right there. You just have to like open up to it. It's not something that has to be like so hard to achieve. It's not so far away. It's just saying it's right here, like inside me. Just like,
I really appreciate you saying that because I feel like always I need to hear the right shir. I need to go to Rav Shlomo Katz. I need to read the right book. I need to find the right questions to answer for myself.
It's like karov elecha hadavar meod. It's so close to you. It's bilvavecha beficha. When Shlomo said, "I just want to hear the words." Todalael. It's beficha la'asod. When we speak it a little bit, then Hashem's presence is a little bit more in our life. When we open up our hearts, Hashem's presence is a little bit more in our hearts. That's why the Torah portion says, when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, so then what is Hashem going to do? Umal Hashem Elohecha et levavcha ve'et levav zarecha. Hashem is going to circumcise our hearts and the hearts of our children. Now, I always understood that to be a prophetic reality of secular Zionism. Because Yechezkel in the 36th chapter says that when we come back into the land, we're going to have a heart of stone. We're not going to want to do God's commands. And then Hashem is going to switch our heart of stone for a heart of flesh, and he's going to pour his spirit upon us. And then with inside a secular reality in the land of Israel, there's going to be a religious growth and transformation and evolution. And I was like, wow, that's such a prophetic sight of what the land of Israel is, how it started with secular Zionism. And now this religious reality is becoming more and more prevalent in Israel. It's so beautiful to see that. But really, it's not just of secular kibbutznikim building a synagogue on their kibbutz. It's really about the religious Jews that up until now don't believe that Hashem is close in our hearts, that we feel like we have to do so much slichot and we have to do so many things to do and we have so much work to do.
Recite the incantations that in return for those incantations we will achieve forgiveness.
If we suffer enough through slichot, maybe then we'll be able to touch a little bit of the divine. And I feel like, no, it's karov elecha hadavar me'od. It's so close to you, and Mal Hashem Levech is like he's going to open our hearts. That process is going to happen. But what do we have to do? We just have to see that it's like so close to us. You know, I spent Shabbat, last Shabbat, with a group of people. They're pretty far away from Shabbat. Some of them had never spent Shabbat in their life before. And I had to explain what Kiddush was. I was like, well, what is a Kiddush? How do I explain this to someone that doesn't really know what Kiddush is? And I feel like the best explanation that I had, inspired now by what you were saying, by just speaking it, is when we are Mekadesh the Yom, we are inviting Hashem's presence to our Shabbos meal by making it holy. What is holy? in my mind, holiness is sort of like if there's a life-o-meter, you can see how much someone is alive. So there's a Hashem presence-o-meter. And our consciousness will bring Hashem's presence into an action, into a relationship, into a Shabbos meal, into a holiday. We have to like bring Hashem's presence into that. And so I think that for me, it's believing now, it comes all the way back. Do we believe that Hashem believes in us enough to bring his presence into the world? V'karov elecha davar me'od. If you're a Jew, if you're connected to the Torah, if you like really like want it, then like it's karov elecha me'od. You just have to open it up and it's right there. So maybe now on a deeper level, you actually were addressing something that's like, I'm sort of like, you know, on first base, you're already-
You said
like,
it's a long journey.
Yeah,
you
you're already like rounding the base. But for me, maybe that's really what it is. It's actually believing shekarov elecha hadavar me'od, that it's actually really close to us, that Hashem believes in us enough that if we just have to open our hearts, open our mouths, beficha uvilvacha la'asoto, it's like right here with us. And so I try not to get lost in all the to-dos and don't-dos and slichot and liturgy and all of the stuff that needs to be done and minyan and shofar. Did you hear it? Did you know? All like this. I was like, wait, let's just try to realign ourselves and know that it's like, it's so close. Let's just focus on that, really trying to bring the kiddush in.
You know, that what you just took us on, and seeing it through the act of Kiddush, that inviting God in, and Rabbi David Aaron speaks a lot about this concept.
He's got a book by the title.
Oh, really?
It's called Inviting God In.
Amazing.
Right? Guide to all the Chagim.
It's an incredible thing. This concept of inviting God in, I really do feel, is the gate opener for Slichot as well. And for this whole last week of the year. And the concept of inviting God in is really a question of, do you really believe that Hashem believes in you? And we say it every day. We say it in Tehillim, "L'hagid b'boker chasdecha ve'emunatcha b'leilot." During the day, when things are clear to me in my life, I praise you. "L'hagid b'boker chasdecha," but b'leilot, at night, when life doesn't add up at all, it's not about how much I believe in you, Hashem. It's how much ve'emunatcha, your emuna in me, b'leilot, at night. What gets me through the darkness is not how much I believe in you, God. It's inviting God in and remembering, oh my God, the Ribono Shel Olam believes in me. And this concept of God believing in me, and that being the definition of being a believing Jew, is life-changing. In fact, I once heard a story. I was driving to a gig, and I had I think we were still listening to CDs back then. No one puts in CDs anymore. 10 years ago, we would say, I think I was listening to a tape. No one puts tapes in anymore.
And when you're listening to a CD, you feel like technologically advanced. And
very much so, yeah. Now we're talking about, every type of iPhone, MP3 player, whatever it is, that has 5 million gazillion tracks on one little device. Anyway, I was still with a CD. I heard the following story from Rabbi Shlomo Karbach. I had to pull off the highway because I was scared that I wouldn't be able to drive. It hit me like a ton of bricks. But you know what? As I'm talking right now, I realize something. Instead of me trying to explain it to you right now, I actually wanted every person in the world that wants to learn about belief, about emunah, to be touched by this story, that I had the chutzpah of putting it on one of my albums. And it was from a live concert I did in Australia. And it's called The Slonimer Story. So we're going to listen to it right now, live from Australia, about 6 years ago.
So I'm sure you all know how the Baal Shem HaKodesh says that God is either everything or he's nothing. Not chas v'shalom that he could be nothing, God forbid. But in our lives, it's either that God runs the whole show, everything, or nothing in our lives, at least as far as we think. And I'm sure you all know that when we say, "Eilahagid ma'boker chasdecha," V'emunah scha, Says the Heilige Rebbe of Alexander, Lahagid baboker chasdecha, to say your praises in the day. In the day when everything is shining in a world that's beautiful, when things work out, to praise you, God, is very, very easy. But what do I do at night when all I see is darkness? And the truth is that I've never met anyone in the world that's ever told me, my life, yeah, it's been pretty simple, didn't really go through much. All of us are books. All of us are bestsellers. Each and every one of us has a story. V'emunos chabalilas, says the Heilige Rebbe of Alexander, at night, in the world of darkness, I gotta tune into something much deeper. Not just how much I believe in you, but how much you believe in me. Emunas chayir emuna Hashem. It's your belief in me. That's what keeps me going. So very fast, I've been sharing this story wherever I go for the last few months, and I can't stop saying it. Mechila, if you've heard it. But it's a story, I'm saying it for myself. One of the previous rabbis in the dynasty of Slonim found himself in a kretschmer, a little motel. And in the lobby of this motel, the Heilige Slonim Rebbe sees a Yidla, sees a Jew who's shining from head to toe. Never saw anything like this before in his life. Thinks to himself, this is really, what is chus to see a Jew like this? The following night, the same exact thing happens. The Heilige Rebbe of Slonim is in the lobby of this little motel. And again, he bumps in, he sees this Yidla. He sees this Jew literally shining, but in ways, the rays of light coming out of his head. He never saw anything like this before in his life. Doesn't say anything. But on the third night, the Heilige Rebbe of Slonim, he sees this Yidla once again, and it was mamish like Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from Mount Sinai. Ki karan or panav. No one could look at him because it was just the sun was shining. So finally, the Rebbe of Slonim goes up to him and he asks him, Zisa Yidla, sweet Jew, what's your story? Who are you and where are you from? So this Yidla says to him, Rabbi, the truth is nothing's too special. I live in a neighboring village, a little bit away, but a village nearby. Come here to do some business. Okay, but where'd you learn? What do you know? What are you doing? Who are you? Just tell you the truth, Rabbi, I'm a very simple Jew. I don't learn that much. I don't pray that much because I have trouble reading. And the truth is, when I begin reading two words in the Siddur, in the prayer book, after I just realize it's too hard for me to get through two words, I'm going to go through the whole thing. I just let it go. Same thing, mincha, afternoon prayers. Same thing with Maariv, evening prayers. I can't read that well, so I just mumble a few words and I hope it's not too mad and go on. Slonim Rebbe's thinking, can't be. He's about to leave him. And this Yidla says, wait, Rebbe, there is one thing that I do say every night before I go to sleep. Every night before I go to sleep, Kriya Shema Shalamita, again, the words, you know, after Shema Yisrael, I don't say the rest, I don't remember it by heart, I know it. But there's one thing that I say to God every night before I go to sleep. And Chevra, you all have to open your hearts in the deepest way. Every night before I go to sleep, I scream out, Master of the world, there's only one thing I request of you. If you don't believe, and if you don't think that tomorrow I could do all you need me to do in the world, if you don't think I can get the job done, the job for which you brought me to this world. Don't wake me up. But if you believe that tomorrow I could do what you need me to do in this world, only then I'm asking you to wake me up. I'm not sure how many of us have actually uttered those words, but it's definitely, definitely a subconscious prayer that comes out of our neshamas every single night, because otherwise none of us would be here right now. So if God believes we can get the job done, why don't we just join him in his belief?
So I think, Chevra, that that's really the bottom line. When we wake up in the morning, it's only because of God's belief in us that today we could live his dreams that he has for us. Because if not, God's not that cruel to give us another day and tell us, guess what? You have no chance here. It's not going to work for you. And this is Rosh Hashanah. This is the parsha of Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. You are standing over here. That's how the parsha opens up. And the word for Nitzav doesn't just mean standing. When we say Nitzav, we mean rock solid. A person can only stand rock solid in this world with Hashem's belief in him. Which really does bring us back to the beginning of today's segment. There's nothing more beautiful than saying, I'm sorry that I didn't believe enough in your belief in me. There's nothing as more that makes a person more whole than being such in such a state of asking for mechila, asking for forgiveness, not only because I hurt you. That's a checklist forgiveness. When I hurt somebody and I say, I'm sorry, that's an obligatory checklist type of saying I'm sorry, like we talked about checklist Yiddishkeit of Judaism a few weeks ago. But when I ask for forgiveness because I didn't tap into all the gates you're opening for me, that I didn't take advantage of that which you gave me, which is your belief in me, there's nothing that makes a person more whole and feel more sincere. And with that, to enter the new year makes the year have a taste of this year is going to be a year of emunah. But what type of emunah? It's the meeting each other. It's the ve'emunatcha balelot. I know these are heavy words, friends. I know these are big words. It's not
They're
just
comforting a, words, though.
I hope so. I pray so. I mean, it's the way I comfort myself, I think. And it's a thing I have to work on all the time. It's like, even though right now I'm saying these words, because I'm saying it, then it's etched in me, I hope. But it's not. It's things we have to keep on bringing ourselves back to over and over and over again. And like Jeremy, like you said so beautifully before, a person has to remember lo b'shamayim hi. To really believe that God believes in you, that's not b'shamayim. That's just remembering, if I woke up this morning, that means that God believes in me. If we're sitting around the table right now, three of us right now, in our studios here overlooking the Judean hills, as we're speaking about Hashem's praises, it's that God believes enough in us that we can create a throne for him. Yoshev Tehilot Yisrael, which is really the point of Rosh Hashanah. HaMelech Yoshev Al Kisei Ram Benisa. What kind of throne do you want to build for the Ribbono Shleim, for the master of the world? We're all carpenters. Michotev Eitzecha, carpenters, Ad Shoev Meimecha. And we're all water carriers. Some of us are carpenters. We do big things and build tremendous buildings. But some of us are Nebuch, Shoev Meimecha. We schlep around some water. We have a few vorts in our backpack to come and share with people some little pieces of Torah, little cash Torah nuggets that basically just sweeten the soul and make things a little bit more calmer and sweeter in the world. May this year for all of us, all our listeners, and for ourselves and our families, may it be a year of feeling that being overwhelmed never got us anywhere. No one has been productive as a result of being overwhelmed and over-intensified by the power and awesomeness of what we stand before. It's never got us anywhere. So let's just nip it in the bud and drop it now and not schlep that absolute Amalekite energy into the new year, because we've seen it already. We've learned it already so many times, and we're only 36 and 37. Imagine some of our listeners that are even a bit older and can tell us even better than we could tell ourselves.
But in some ways, I think being overwhelmed prevents you from really being overwhelmed. Like when the first overwhelmed is hassled, harried, what am I going to do, overwhelmed. When you really put that aside from a place of faith that you don't need to be there, then when you're actually standing before Hashem, you can really be overwhelmed with his presence and his love and his forgiveness, because you don't have all that background static of being overwhelmed. Does that make sense to you?
A lot, absolutely. I sense it. I get it all the time, and I'm shocked when I'm so quickly reminded as to like, haven't you learned this lesson? Haven't you gone through this already? Don't you remember the last time that happened to me, what you described before about being overwhelmed with all the things I need to do, was Erev Pesach. Which, you know, the few days before the holiday of Pesach, Am Yisrael goes into this nutty frenzy, this mishigas of between the cleaning of the house and the spiritual house. Your work is set for you. You should start cleaning from the day after Pesach if you want to have your you know. It's a crazy concept. And then I realized, like, that cannot be what freedom means, which is the point of Pesach. That it just can't be. But I also don't want to be a cop-out and say, well, I don't have to clean anything if that can't be, right? So the same thing here, like, it can't be that I'm supposed to just on automatic spend a week of saying I'm sorry, and being overwhelmed with all things I have to say I'm sorry. Can't be that's how I come to crown a king. However, I don't want to be a cop-out and say, so forget this whole forgiveness thing either. No. And I think that's why once you say I'm sorry for not believing in yourself enough and the belief that Hashem has in you, can you then go into the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and really believe that people that you might have hurt personally will really hear a sincere desire of reconciliation and peace and love between man, Adam Lechavero, which is the tshuva that we're busy with between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's almost like you have to go through a whole month of really believing that God believes in you in order for other people to believe that your desire to have reconciliation with them is sincere. I think.
Friends, it's Rabbi Shlomo Katz, Rabbi Ari Abramowitz, I'm Jeremy Gimpel. This is our last broadcast before Rosh Hashanah, because next week on the broadcast day is Rosh Hashanah.
So but we will be broadcasting between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Yes. But until then, I'm going to ask Ari to give everyone a bracha for a new year.
I bless everyone out there here in this room and around the world that we should be able to internalize in our hearts that Hashem loves us and that He forgives us and that this faith that we have is also emunatcha. Like Hashem is giving us in our heart, where does our emunah come from? Where do we have this knowledge and faith of Hashem from? That's also His gift. So at the very least, we can just be filled with gratitude, with the knowledge that our Father is the judge, He is the King, and He loves us no matter what. And we should all of us in this room, Jews around the world, non-Jews around the world, this coming year should be a year of global peace and love and serenity. A real peace where we're all looking at what could we do for each other? What could we do for our Arab brothers? What could we do for Hindus? What could we just want the best for each other, for the whole world. That's Mashiach. And we just are so filled with love for each other that we're not even thinking about ourselves. And everybody's thinking about the other. Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom.
Rabbi Isaac Nissenbaum, one of the founders of the religious Zionist Mizrahi movement, wrote, "The objective of Mizrahi is the total revival of our nation in all its aspects, to revive Judaism in our hearts and to revive our hearts for Judaism. The Land of Israel Network is powered by the Mizrahi World Movement."
Do you like picking strawberries or blueberries in the spring and summer? What about grapes? If you were to take an experience like picking grapes and move it to the heartland of Israel, this is when an experience becomes prophetic. Young and old, singles and families are all invited on this adventure of a lifetime. I'm Joshua Waller with Hayuvel, and I invite you to join us on the mountains of Israel, where prophecy meets reality. Go to hayuvel.com, that's HAYOVEL.com, for more information.